Dear friends, it is a pleasure to be back again and with you to continue a study of the text of the book of Revelation. So now, we are really getting into John's vision. I, therefore, invite you to read what this opening vision is about, and as you understand, it will set the tone of the whole book. Let's read together in chapter 20, verses 12 to 20, while reminding us that if this is the opening vision of the entire book, it is also and especially the opening vision of the seven churches. Revelation 1, verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like the fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of the Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angel of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." Therefore, John turns around to know who calls him with this loud voice, like a trumpet. At first, he does not see the character. What he sees are the candlesticks, and right in the midst of the candlesticks, he saw someone moving, but he does not seem that this character is the one who calls. It seems that the evidence is given us when he hears the same voice in chapter 4, verse 1.
Au chapitre 4 et au verset 1er.
After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." The text warns us, God has given his revelation to Jesus, who signifies it to the angel, and the angel sends it to John. Therefore, it is likely that the voice he hears is the voice of the angel. Then we'll see how he is addressed by Jesus. We have noticed that what he sees first are the seven golden candlesticks. Obviously, it evokes for him the sanctuary he knows well, with its courtyard, its holy place, and most holy place, and you see here a diagram that shows you how the sanctuary of the desert was pitched. It was open to the east. You can see that the holy place opened to the east, two times longer than the most holy place, which was a cubic room. And then you see this tent. As you can notice, it was a tent, was in the middle of the courtyard, and the courtyard itself was surrounded by a fence. It is no longer the earthly sanctuary. The earthly sanctuary was destroyed, and when the Roman armies invaded Jerusalem in AD 70, General Titus was unable to contain his soldiers and avoid the destruction of the temple. But what interests us here is the heavenly sanctuary, and therefore, the main idea that we must remember, which we have already seen in the structure, is that everything will happen in the heavenly sanctuary. We will follow Jesus as priest, high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. All the introductions of the septenaries will shed light on it. So, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, he sees someone. Note that there is not one seven-branch candlestick, but seven candlesticks, which shows us that there is no more one people who was the people of Israel, intended to be God's witnesses, called to enlighten the world, but there are seven candlesticks. The economy has changed. We are no longer in the days when the people of Israel represented Christ, and Christ was to represent God. But we are in the era of the church. So we must change the time. John understands it well when he sees seven candlesticks instead of one. He sees in the midst of the seven lampstands one like the Son of Man. So Jesus called himself Son of Man. Though he was called or accepted the title of Son of God, yet he called himself Son of Man. I invite you to look in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, how he challenges his disciples on this subject. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Someone say, John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What Peter said to him is that he is the Son of God, but he introduces himself as the Son of Man, and he is one like the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. These are the attributes of the high priest. Let's have a look at the clothing of the high priest in the book of Exodus, chapter 28, verse 4. "And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest." If we read a little further, we can see in verse 15 how a specific part of this garment, the breastplate, is made up with. "You shall make the breastplate of judgment artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen you shall make it. It shall be doubled into a square. A span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. And you shall put settings of stone in it, four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and an emerald. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a hyacinth, an agate, an amethyst, and the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold settings. And the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, each one with its own name. They shall be according to the 12 tribes. If you go a little further in verse 29, we are told the following. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. When Aaron was ministering, he wore the people of Israel on his heart. In the same way, when Jesus ministers in the heavenly sanctuary, he wears a golden belt on his chest, which resembles the pectoral. This is to say that on his heart he wears the church, all his children, his brothers and sisters. Then the text tells us in verse 14 that his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. Then this is a sign of wisdom, and age has always been considered a sign of wisdom. But it is a prerogative, it is a feature that is taken from the prophet Daniel, and I invite you to read in the book of Daniel chapter 7 what we are told in verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels as burning fire. Actually, to begin the judgment, since it is the judgment that will start, it requires wisdom. Likewise, Christ has the same wisdom. Once again, he has the same characteristics as the Father. Verse 14 tells us that his eyes were like a flame of fire. We will also see that he has legs like brass. We have already found these features in the Old Testament, for example, in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 5. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of multitude. The description is so striking that we can understand through the character that Daniel saw, that it was none other than Jesus. This character was revealed to other prophets too, the prophet Ezekiel in particular. Since the very first chapter of his book, he had the same vision. Let's read it, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 27. And from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw as it were the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Whether Daniel, Ezekiel, or whether even Paul later on the road of Damascus, they all make a similar description. But if everyone is overwhelmed by this vision, the brightness of this vision, the strength of voice like that of many waters, in fact, all will leave also, let's say, the experience of the getting up. Everyone falls down, but each one will be raised up by a sweet and melodious voice. We can read it a little further in the text of Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of the Hades and of death." Let's analyze the description made here. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. We'll see these features repeated in the messages to the churches. A sharp sword with two edges. We find the description in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If the word of God can be destructive, and we shall see that it is the case in Revelation chapter 19, this word is also something that speaks to the heart. It allows us to have discernment about what are our feelings, our innermost thoughts, to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. To judge our own feelings, we would probably be incapable by ourselves. But that's what the word can do. The following description shows a bright face. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. We need to refer to the experience of the Transfiguration to have a glimpse at what this shining could be. John lived it. You can read it in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. He was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Even the prophet Malachi describes Jesus as the Son of Righteousness and healing under his wings. Then, chapter 1, verse 17 of the book of Revelation goes on to tell us what happened. John fell at the feet of Jesus as dead. And all those who saw Jesus lived the same experience, for example, Ezekiel and Paul. They were overpowered. Note that when John addresses the angel, he is not flawed. But here Ezekiel and Daniel and Paul are overpowered by the extraordinary vision. Let's read what Paul tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 3 to 6.
Acts, chapter 9, verses 3.
As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Then Jesus introduces himself as the first and the last. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, as in chapter 48, the first and the last is related to the prophecy. He is the first in giving it and the last to achieve it. Well, we are exactly in the same framework when he declares, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. When Darius, the Median king, finds himself confronted with Daniel the prophet, willing to help him, even though he was forced to throw him into the lion's den, this king will still talk to Daniel in the morning, asking, has that God, your God, this living God of whom you speak, delivered you? The king Darius talked to Daniel, which means that the characteristic of this God is to be alive. He intervenes in people's life unlike all the idols of wood or stone that might exist, which cannot move, which cannot listen, which cannot answer. Our God is a living God. And he said, write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this, pointing out that it is a prophecy. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. It is likely that each time there have been people sent by God, whether they be chiefs, managers, leaders in the church, no doubt there was always a leader for each period. Then he ends the description by saying in chapter 1, verse 20, the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So, while facing these seven candlesticks, which we find at the beginning of vision, as we are now at the end of this vision, we can ask ourselves the question, am I a candlestick? Are you a candlestick? Is your life illuminating around you? Does it reflect the light that emanates from Jesus? He is the light of the world. This is what we are told in the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 12. But he also tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, you are the light of the world. What is your life like? Do your words give light around you? Jesus also said, you are the salt of the earth. Does our life, our words, the message we send around give flavor to the lives of those around us? This is the challenging question this text arises.